We have been looking into the series on a life of prayer. We never talked on that series before. We're talking about how we need to develop a life of prayer. And as you look at developing a life of prayer, we have a lot of people in the Bible, examples to us, who build their entire lives around prayer. And what does it take to develop a life of prayer? We have seen last week how Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus lived his life in prayer. He built his life on prayer. And even though he was a son of God, even though he was a perfect man, son of God, son of man, and even though he had no sin in his life, he developed a habit and a life of prayer. And how much more even we today who need to fellowship with God. And everything that Jesus received in his life, he didn't just receive because the prophets prophesied about him. He received it because he actually prayed. He prayed through on many areas in his life. He spent many lonely nights in prayer before God. And we know he was not really alone. He was with God and the angels and all that. But he travailed, he prayed throughout all his earthly life. And we want to look at the Bible and see some giants of prayer, that people who are giants in prayer that we can learn from. And one of the first things that we learn about developing a life of prayer is learning how to develop routines or habits of prayer. And most of us have routines. You take a particular route when you go to work. You have a routine by which you do certain things in your life every day, or maybe weekly. And some routines are weekly, some are daily. And we have natural routines. Going for a walk, or going for a meal, or going for exercise, or going to a gym. There are many natural things we have routines. And how sad if we don't have routines that build the spiritual dimension. We need to build that into our life. And it's good that we see many of you developing routines of meditation and all those things, which we begin to incorporate to our lives. Even more, there's such a thing as a routine of prayer. How we set about certain times to pray. Let's look at the book of Daniel. And we see in the book of Daniel, that Daniel tasted what it was to have answered prayer in his early life. We know how that his life was in danger, and then nobody could interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, so Daniel was being escorted together with all the wise men to be slaughtered. Daniel asked for more time, and during that time he prayed with his three friends, and they got the answer. So that was the beginning of a life of prayer. Who knows, before that he would have established a life of prayer. But that tells us how prayer was the source of all his life. Prayer was a source of the answers to many things in his life. Prayer saved his life. The answer to prayer, Nebuchadnezzar's dream that he received, saved his life. And surely after that, he would develop a life of prayer, which he did. In the book of Daniel chapter 2, we know that he talks about how through prayer he sought God, and he brought together his friends. In chapter 7, chapter 2, verse 17. Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the three friends with Daniel, prayed until they got the answer the whole night. Most likely, they never slept. Because the next morning, if they don't get the answer, they're dead. Well, that would be a nice all-night prayer. Right? Even if tomorrow morning, you know you're going to die if you don't have your answer. I'll tell you, everybody will wide awake praying. And so here, as they were praying, the secret was revealed. And remember that the word night vision, you know, is one of the ways the Bible expressed itself in the vision that Daniel had received. So he did receive the answered prayer. After that, his three friends were people praying together. But there's not much said about his personal life, although it's hidden inside the scriptures, until later on in the Bible, in chapter 6. And by that time, Nebuchadnezzar has died. So you know that Daniel probably is a quite an old man by now. And it says here that the old Babylonian kingdom had fallen. So the Persian kingdom has taken over. And Daniel just suddenly served the second kingdom. So the Babylonian empire had fallen. And here's Daniel, he's serving under the Medes and the Persians. And he was probably an elderly man by then. And in chapter 6 it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these 120 satraps, there were three governors of whom Daniel was one. Then the satraps might give account to them so the king would suffer no loss. Now this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. And many times people want to have this, what you call, excellent spirit that was in him. The word excellent means surpassing. Something in him wants to do more than others. And let me talk a little bit about this excellent spirit. This excellent spirit is something that needs a personal, our personal endeavor. Something that God can give us, He can encourage us, but He cannot motivate us to excellence without some cooperation from us. It is something that is also found in the Apostle Paul. Paul says in Galatians that he excelled above his contemporaries. The word excellent is the root word from the Hebrew word, root word, which means to surpass. One must do more than normal. If you give the person with excellent spirit 1 mile, he will do 2 miles. If you give a person an excellent spirit, he will actually try to excel beyond. That was what made Daniel distinguish himself. Now, in the natural, we see there are sometimes people like that. But what about in the spirit? And let's say here we are gathered in our midst. Do you excel that you want to really be among those who love God more than anyone? Do you excel that in terms of loving God, you want to love God more than everyone else? Of course, Jesus loves us all equally, but we don't all love Jesus equally. We love Jesus differently. And to excel, let's say whether you meditate on the word, you read the Bible, you really want to understand, you worship, you really want to worship with all your heart, you pray with all your heart, you whatever you do, you excel. That's an excellent spirit. So that's what Daniel had. And He stood out among everyone else, and the people who are around him didn't like him. Says verse 4. The governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault in him. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. And in the end, they found one thing that he did, and that was something good. But it says here, we shall not find fault against Daniel unless we find it against the law of his God. So the governors and satraps thronged before the king and says, King Darius. So they tricked him, King Darius, to sign a law by which they forbade people to seek any other gods. And King Darius didn't know it was a plot against Daniel. It was then Daniel knew it. Daniel knew that he was forbidden to seek any other god for 30 days. Any man or other god. Then there was a decree written there. It says in verse 7. Daniel knew it. And he knew he would endanger his life. But Daniel, he went home in verse 10. In his upper room with his window open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So it tells us Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He prayed 3 times a day. That was his habit. Now, in the Bible, it talks about morning and night, meditating on the word morning and night, morning and night, morning and night. Daniel must have got those scriptures, morning and night. But he added morning, afternoon, and night. Wow, this Daniel, what's the further I told you? God says, meditate, you know, day and night. He said, all right, meditate morning and night, I add the afternoon. So, no matter how busy he will always go ahead and find time and just pray before God, and knelt before God. That, and you see some of his prayers are not short prayers. You can see some of the other prayers in the next half of the other book. He really travailed sometimes. He prayed, and he sought God. He studied the book of Jeremiah. He read the Bible, whatever scrolls that he had, and he sought God. What we see here is a habit of prayer. A habit of prayer. It says from his early days, he has developed a routine. And this was what made Daniel great. We might not realize it. People of spiritual routine, you could feel their lives increasing. People who are haphazard, you look at their lives, also haphazard. And I challenge you to find and see. Because in 30 years of ministry, I've been 30 over years in ministry. I've been born again, and not that long before I went to ministry. So most of my life has been in ministry. And I have never seen any person, whether it be lady or man, or whether it be young or old, who had a habit and routine of prayer, who was ever forsaken. I've never seen anyone who had a routine where their lives didn't improve year by year. Name me anyone with a routine whose lives go downhill. If you can. Most of those who go downhill neglect the routine. Or maybe they have a routine for some time and then they neglect it. And their lives start going downhill. So there's something to be said about routines. Some people might call it works. Then if they call that works, then I ask them, when you go shopping, is that works? You go to the supermarket, is that works? Then shopping for food is works, right? So, you know, if we realize that in a natural thing, we have developed routine, right? You might have developed a routine what day you shop, when you shop. How come on the most important thing of life, seeking God, we don't have routines? And it's just an excuse. Calling it works is just an excuse. Because life is made of routine. You know, in the morning, let's say you work from Monday to Friday. Can you say that, you know, that's not routine? No, it's a routine. Yeah, everyone has a routine. And there is much to say if we want to develop a life of prayer. We need to kick in some routines in prayer. There are assigned times to pray. Maybe your life and your schedule doesn't permit a sort of a more regularized routine. But there is a certain routine and pattern in your life of how you seek God. Like for example, I'm seeking to build a routine that the moment I wake up, I would pray. And I try not to see anyone or take any calls until about 12. Then I can meditate, I can pray, I can talk to God. I'm trying to seek to develop that routine in the weekdays. And so that it's my routine before God. That God knows that, okay, my son, my son is seeking him at that routine. And of course, if you are not full-time, you can't do that. But you can develop your own routine and whatever routines that you have. Daniel was a busy man. He develops his routine 3 times a day. And developing a routine is important. in having a life of prayer. And again, I challenge you. Let me put it on the positive side. I put it negative where I say, I've never seen anyone with a spiritual routine whose life from year to year did not improve in the spiritual and the natural. Because some of them don't want much in life also. But you see that always God took care of them. I would challenge you with a routine. When you start having a routine before God, where God knows, and they say, that's the time to seek God, and you go to seek God, even in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 15 minutes, God appreciates that. Because, think about that. The people most important to you are people whom you schedule time. Your boss wants to see you, don't say, sorry boss, no time. Next day, you get, you know, sorry, I'm so very sorry, you don't have to come to work. Right? So people who are important to you, or your wife or your husband say, hey, I really need to talk to you about something. Say, hey, wait. You know, after 1 year waiting, suddenly the wife or husband is gone. So people are important to you, you do make time. You do have time for them. God is supposed to be the most important person in our life. Jesus is supposed to be the most important person in our life. He says to love him above every other human being. He says we cannot be his disciples unless we love him above and beyond every human being that we know. And how come we don't have routines with Jesus? Oh, just because he's invisible, you don't have routine. Excuse. Because throughout the Bible, people have worshipped this invisible God with tremendous routine. And we need to set apart time. And why do we do so? And today I will talk about building a memorial in the spiritual world. It's possible to build a memorial in the spiritual world. Now, in the illustrate and ask this question. We ask this question, what exactly is prayer? What is prayer? Because some of you may have prayer include intercession, supplications and all those things. Yes. You know, intercession is praying for people, supplication is bringing your request before God and all these other things. But in essence, what is prayer? Well, let me define it slightly differently. Imagine the spiritual realm on this side. And this is a spiritual realm where God lives on the throne and all the angels are working, all those wonders of the spiritual world. And one day when we leave this earth, we will go into the spiritual world and live there. Then on the other side is the natural world. The world that we feel, see and touch with our physical body. This is a natural world. So there's a natural world, it exists. There's a spiritual world, it exists. And both worlds are interrelated all the time. The spiritual, of course, is affecting the natural. Prayer is coming into this dimension where you draw the spiritual in order to affect the natural. And let me illustrate. What happens if there's no prayer? Okay, here we are living in the natural world. It is being affected for the spiritual dimension. But in the natural world, you could affect things physically. The people of the world try to change this world using physical laws. You have to bring down a mountain, bring lots of tractors or explosions, bring it down. So we use natural power, natural laws of physics to change natural things. We could touch things, manipulate things, we could take some things, crash it, and all those things using instruments, using science, using technology. We keep changing things. We go to a jungle, we cut it down, and then we build roads and bring stones and all the natural laws. And people like to change the natural things. And this is just using natural things. Prayer is not just entering the spiritual dimension, although that's part of it. Prayer is not just entering, enjoying the dimension of the spirit. That is part of it. If all God wants us to enjoy is the spiritual dimension, then we need not come to earth. We could remain in the spiritual dimension and enjoy spiritual dimension. You know why we came to earth? To grow, of course. But there's something else. So that while in the natural, we tap upon spiritual laws and then use the spiritual laws to change the natural. We affect this natural world through spiritual laws. Think about that. You can change things on this planet through your prayers, through your faith, through your prayers, through your confession, and of course, through acting out what God asks you to act out. And when you're obedient, some things in the natural are predetermined. It's strange sometimes because some natural things doesn't move until it happens spiritually. Now, you all know the scriptures which we teach very often, but I just throw that out. In Hebrews 11, we know that it says that that the things that we are seen are made from the things that are unseen. And then in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says that the what can be seen is temporal, what cannot be seen is eternal. And talk about the thing affecting it, this again. So we know that the spiritual dimension affects the natural dimension. And sometimes when you do something correctly in the natural, you could do like, for example, Jesus says, if you really believe, when you pray, a mountain actually can move. And when did that incident come? When he was walking along the road one day, and he told a fig tree, and he was hungry, and he looked at the fig tree, there was no fig, and he says, no man shall eat fruit from you ever again. And then they went home to Bethany. And the next morning when they came by, the tree was dead. The disciple says, the tree is dead. And Jesus was not surprised. And Jesus, that's where Mark 11 came, and he says, if you believe, all things are possible for you. And if you can say to that mountain, be removed, and from there they probably can see the Mount of Olives say, be removed and be cast in the sea, he will actually obey it. Says, if you have faith. So Jesus could use spiritual power and spiritual forces to affect the natural. Sometimes certain things are done that can affect many generations down the road. For example, in Genesis chapter 22, God told Abraham to offer Isaac. And when Abraham was willing to do so, God at the last minute replaced it with a ram. And after all the sacrifice, God says, I see that you didn't withhold your son when I asked you. And God blessed him. And among the blessings God blessed, there was one new blessing. Your children will possess the gates of their enemies. There was one additional one that was not there from chapter 12 of Genesis right on to chapter 15. And right through all the blessings that God pronounced. The new blessing was, because of what you have done, there is a gene for victory given to all your children. What did he say in Genesis 22? Your children, not just you, your children will possess the gates of their enemies. See, how can God assure him and his descendants of victory? How could God do that? Because whatever Abraham did, he tapped on some spiritual force that enter into his descendants. And it's a spiritual force of assured victory. To possess the gates of your enemies is assured victory. That means that in Abraham's line, there will not be a single failure. That's very powerful. Whatever he did, he released something. So the key in prayer is to be able to enter the spiritual dimension, and by entering this spiritual dimension, begin to tap on whatever laws there are there. There are many laws, the law of faith, various laws of prayer, and visualization, confession, meditation. All these are multiple laws of the spiritual realm. See, there are laws of the spirit, and that will change this world. We see a little bit of that, for example. An aeroplane can fly even though it's heavier than air because of the law of flight and flight dynamics. And the certain shape of the wind, and then the velocity, the velocity of thrust that must come. There are certain things, and an aeroplane which is heavier than air can fly. When an aeroplane flies, it's defying the laws of gravity. It's supposed to fall down, but it doesn't, because the propulsion keeps pushing it up. Why is that so? We use a natural law, one natural law, to overcome another natural law. So we use that in the natural realm. And in prayer, that you tap on spiritual laws, which are higher, to affect natural law. And there's a whole group of spiritual laws that are there. Jesus knew all those laws. Jesus understands those laws, which is why Jesus can heal the sick. Sometimes men and women of God tap upon that. Like John G. Lake, he was so confident in the bubonic plague. He believed that the bacteria will not affect him. And when they were examining it on microscope, they asked him, how is it that you never got sick? He says, he told them this, the law of the spirit of life. So you're going to see, look under the microscope now. So they look and see the bacteria. Now see what happened when I put my finger there. He put his finger, every single bacteria died. What is that? He has learned how to tap on a spiritual law to effect changes in the natural world. That's why we are down here on earth. We are down here on earth not so that we become mystical creatures. You know, we're always mystical creatures. You're always seeing the spirit, you know, always living the spirit. Until, you know, some people say, you're so heavenly minded, you're not really good. You know, and like it has nothing to do with this earth. That's not just why we are here. The key is, when you begin to tap on the spiritual realm that affects the natural, you got the attention of everyone. We are down here to learn skills of using the spiritual and understanding and flowing with the spiritual dimension to affect the natural while here. You can, if you want, live your whole life based on the natural. Take away prayer, take away Bible, take away believing God, take away attending church, take away Christianity, take away everything. Live in the natural. You can. There are a lot of people who live in the natural. Then, what's the point of being a Christian? See, many people don't understand. Being a Christian is not just so that, oh, now you got a ticket to heaven and you live exactly the same. You still live based on natural law. The purpose why we are here, planted on earth, is that as Christians who are now connected to the spiritual dimension, we would learn to tap upon spiritual laws and affect it in the natural. That's the key. To affect it in the natural. And you understand how those laws work. Sometimes to learn some of the laws and how you have, not just in theory, in practice in your life, it takes time. But when you begin to master those laws, it begins to take effect in your life. You can tap on the spiritual dimension. And here is why we need routine. See, we are using spiritual dimension to affect the natural. Sometimes, just doing it once is not enough. We have to build up something in the spiritual dimension. How long does it take to build a chair from a pile of wood? Might take some time. And depend on your skill. Some of us are not skillful. How long does it take to construct something or paint a painting? Time, effort, skill, knowledge, all these are important. If you don't have knowledge, you've got to go and acquire it. So that might take longer. If you don't have the skill, you might have to go and train under someone to get the skill. So that itself might take time. So it takes time to build something in the natural. And spiritual laws also sometimes take working at. You don't just do it once. You continually tap upon that. And that is why routine is important. It is like you're constantly doing those things. And it's like constantly you're painting something, constantly you're creating something in the spiritual when you begin to have a routine. A routine applied makes the spiritual law works, and it causes the natural law to submit. And for example, when you build, let's say, a plane, you cannot just have enough energy to push the plane up. In fact, I think the first flight taken by the Wright brothers was only a couple of minutes. You can't go many places just with 5 minute flight or so. You can't. You need the power that keeps sustaining. So there must be some power that constantly pushes it on and on. You cannot get boom, go up, okay, that's it, and then you come straight down. The constant power must be maintained. The same way when we tap on spiritual laws, when you have a routine, you're not just tapping upon the law once. You tap upon the law constantly, and you quote unquote, having a spiritual routine is like building a rocket engine or having a proper engine. Engines are very important in our modern world. And sadly, we all, and the engine, at first they started, remember, they started with the steam engine. And then they have combustion, they have coal, very messy. And then they have fossil fuel, which is what is used today. Unfortunately for us, in our technology or the history of mankind, electricity didn't win. If electricity had won, today you have electric engines all over, you won't have so much carbon monoxide poisoning. But whatever it is, the creation of an engine is important. An engine continues to function on and on, on and on. And if the engine is continuous, you can get into a car and you can drive as long as the petrol tank is full. Because it's an engine. And the same, long ago they built planes, cannot go very far. But more and more they design better and better engine. So they work hard, they improve on the engine, improve on the engine, improve on the engine, improve on the consumption. And so nowadays the latest plane, the Boeing 787, more compact, consume less fuel, but got more power. See, they keep improving the engine so that you can go now further without refueling. And that's the whole purpose. How far do you want to go in the natural? The further you want to go, the engine must be well designed, must last very long. And if for example, you say, oh, I'm going to reinvent the engine, your engine you invent, you know, every 100 kilometers need filling. I tell you, to go from here to another place, your plane going to stop many times. Then you look, but you sign up for the flight, you say, wow, cheap flight, it's like, wow, 22 stops. And remember those days when flying needs a few stops. Then afterward, flying got one stop. Nowadays, flying, zero stop. You can get on the plane 22 hours, zoom, because they have learned to design the engine. But engines are monotonous creatures, correct? Keep doing the same thing over and over again, pumping the energy over and over again. When we build a routine, we build a memorial, which is like an engine in the spiritual dimension that will carry you. And I put it in a positive sense again. People who have routines could feel their progress, spirit, soul and body. People without spiritual routine cannot feel the progress. One day up, one day down, one day up, one day down, one day up. But you start building a routine like meditation on the word, prayer, like coming for Friday all night, once a week, that's also a routine. So some of you might not pray much, you know. Some of you might pray 5 minutes a day. And then your word, one scripture a day. For you, instead, you know, an apple a day keeps the devil away. For you, one scripture a day keeps the devil away. And you like all the short verses. Whatever. So, but somehow, When you come for all night, you really give it to God. And guess what? It's your all night that sustains you. And that routine, even though it's a weekly routine, builds into you, and you could feel yourself going forward. Which is one of the things I told some of you when we started on. I said, watch and see your life. If you just simply pay the price of just praying and praying, praying once a week and all night, you will see your life progress. Then you add that on top, meditation and all those things. Wow, you bring it. Some of you, as you build your routines, you begin to feel yourself flying up. You see, hey, how can I fly? Say, because you got routine. Routine builds an engine. It's called building a memorial. And I would challenge any one of you who are having a hard time in life. And I first ask this question. Do you have a routine? Say, what routine? Okay, let me put it another way. Do you have a spiritual engine? Say, what spiritual engine? Spiritual engine to bring you to somewhere, to go somewhere. Go where? Go wherever you want. Love. So you say, why buy a car? So you can drive, correct? Why own a plane or get on a plane? So you can fly somewhere. Imagine a world without trains, cars, bus, planes, rockets. We will all be very slow. But the simple invention of an engine, whether it be electric engine, fossil fuel engine, it has pushed us to move. Suddenly the world is a small world. When we think about US or Australia, when I think about Australia, I always think, okay, it's only 7 hours away. US might be, you know, 18, 20 hours away. We think about that. But do you know, just a few hundred years ago, hey, by the way, planes were only invented in the 20th century. It's only about 100 odd years that planes were invented. We have progressed so far. You push it further a few hundred years ago. Long, long ago, for them to go from England to America, they might have to sign their death certificate, or rather their insurance saying, it's alright, sign their will. Sign their will, say, okay, if I don't come back, give my guinea pig to this guy, give my house to this guy, because they might never come back. And they might gone for years in the ship or in whatever means. Engine makes a difference. And spiritual engine is made up from a routine. So start your routines. Like Daniel, he start very early. And you see what make him blessed by God. Of course, he tapped on the laws of grace and favor. But outside of that, even if Daniel did not tap on the law of grace and favor, his routine would have pushed him very far in life. Again, I say this statement. I have never seen any Christian, no matter whether they are not so talented, they have one talent or 100 talents, or very little skill or a lot of skill, I've never seen a single Christian, whether it be a minister, an ordinary member, or simple housewife, or highly talented musician, whatever, who has have a spiritual routine, who have never succeeded wherever they go. They have always, put the opposite, they have always succeeded. They have always have their needs met. They have always have prosperity. They have always have financial success. Now, it doesn't mean they didn't make mistakes, they didn't make failure. But somehow, whatever failures or little mistakes they make was insignificant compared to the many blessings or success that God keep giving them. Search around your life. Some of you have been Christian long enough. Find anyone who has a regular spiritual routine or devotion with God who is not doing well. Very hard to find. You might find some who used to do it, but never do it anymore. And everyone who are like that, you can find that at the point where they were at their peak was they got some sort of routine. Like Daniel, he has a routine. 3 times a day, he will do this. And in those days, they don't have watches. So how does Daniel know? He wake up, he say, okay, prayer time. So middle of the day, end of the day. You don't expect that they wear sandal. Nico. Okay, my sandal says it's time for prayer. Whatever it was, he has a routine. Why routines? To build a spiritual memorial. We need a spiritual engine to carry the spiritual energy into the natural realm where it's always available for you to do whatsoever you want. You see, you don't need to be among those Christians who every time pray this, pray that, pray this, pray that. No, by all means, if it weighs down in your heart, pray. But it's so much better to have a routine where whether you have a request or not, you are there spending time with God, meditating on the Word, just energizing yourself before God. And if you build yourself into a spiritual routine, you have an engine. Having a spiritual engine is like having a car. In the middle of the night, where the MRT doesn't work, the bus doesn't work, you still can get in and drive somewhere. It's always available if you want it. You might not need it, but you know it's always there when you want it. So having a spiritual routine is like you have a spiritual engine that can bring you anywhere you want. On the day that suddenly you need some spiritual energy, a spiritual breakthrough in the natural, it's always there. It's a memorial. Let's look at somebody else who didn't know God and has a routine. His name is Cornelius. Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Acts 10, it says here, and in chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and pray to God always. And the word pray to God always means he had a routine. His alms also was probably a routine that he does. It says in verse 3, about the 9th hour, remember this man just know the general God, but he did not know Jesus Christ yet. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius! And when he observed, he said, hey, who's this guy calling him? He was afraid. And he says, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, the angel said, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Say, how can this man have a memorial? What does a memorial mean in the spiritual dimension? A memorial is a routine which has built itself until it's so visible in the spiritual dimension. See, when you keep a routine, it is still there in the spiritual dimension. It is like the devil recognizes it and don't come near. Let's say, you know, we have this routine that we pray every Friday, all night. It's straight through to heaven, and heaven straight through down here. There is a memorial that God understands, that God knows. And God works around our routine too. But here's the word, memorial. If that can happen to a man who did not even have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then on what basis did God accept his memorial? He loved God, obviously. He needs to. He would be one of Romans 2 category who leave his conscience before God. So if Cornelius had died, he would be under Romans 2 category that God would deal with. But my question is more this. With so little that he had, so little knowledge that he had, how did he succeed in building a memorial before God? You know what's memorial before God? That is, every time the angels pass by, wow, there's a memorial there. Like a huge wreath of flowers or whatever you want to see in the spiritual dimension. You know how God's throne is always there? And so I could turn around and ask this question. Now we talk about seeking God. Do you have a place at the throne room where you love? What's your favorite place in the throne room? So say, hey, what throne room? Where? Which way? How? You're seated in heavenly places with Christ, but there's a place that you always go to before God. There is such a place. There are places that you learn. There's a certain habit that you go forth into the spirit dimension. And it's easy actually once you get into a routine. Once you get into a routine and you learn the flow of the routine and you build one layer after another layer after another layer into it. What is a memorial? The memorial was going up before God. And every time the angels passed by, they said, what is that? You know, maybe one angel, new angel, passed by. Hey, what is that? Then the angel, this one belonged to Cornelius. What is it there? Oh, every, don't know how many times a day. Let's give him a figure so that we can count. Let's assume that he does it twice a day. You know, morning and night. And he said, every day he is being, how long has he been having this? Why is it so strong, so powerful, so nice, so fragrant? He has been at it since he was a small boy. Wow, said the angel. If angel can say wow, they will say wow. I know. So every time they pass by, in the end, it goes bigger and bigger and bigger. Until God has to say to the angel, and God says, you know, this Cornelius, please go and tell him about Jesus. Yeah? He had no idea about all that's happening around. So God personally sent an angel there to tell Cornelius. And instead of the preacher, you know, accidentally come by, he tells Cornelius, by the way, there's this apostle, is just nearby, send for him. And he will tell you more about God that I want you to know about. So God has to personally drag Peter to the place to preach to him. Imagine the preacher, you know, reluctant preacher. Say, what? Cornelius is a Gentile. Do you know they would never have preached to him? Who want to preach to him? He's a Gentile. And Paul hasn't come around yet. And in fact, he's so reluctant that God has to convince the apostle. You read later, God has to give him this vision three times. Going up and down, up and down. Some of the preachers say, I cannot eat all these things. God will say, hey, it's not about eating and thinking, about going, whatever. And God has to convince him. See, all this supernatural work because somebody has a routine. Routines are powerful when they are done right in the spirit. It is a good routine. Now, of course, if it's a routine that is a burden, you're dragging your feet, you say, you said, so some of you try to be hero. Wow, routine good. So you go back today, you know, and then you set, every day. You say, what time should I go? Okay, normally you wake up at 6 something, and then you get ready, and you're one of those with heavy breakfast plan. And then you eat your breakfast, and then you march into the MRT by the time of 7, so you go at 6. So now you set your alarm clock, which normally is at 6, you set it at 5, try to be hero. And so you set it at 5. So every day, the alarm go. The next day, 5 o'clock, 1 hour we got. So you drag, it's such a heavy thing, and then you're dragging yourself, and it doesn't work. After some time you feel, it doesn't work. So don't overset it or whatever. Just let the routines build. How do routines build up? It has to be built from your love. It has to be built from your love. Your love for God. You love God so much that you don't want to miss it.
You love God so much, you don't want to miss it.
And by the way, I'm speaking tonight, you know, on the routine, you know, as long as I'm around, I never miss all night prayer. Even today, have my wisdom tooth removed, I still worship, still teach, still pray, and still going to be here all night. Except I might be pray softer tonight. So if you see me very silent, then you know I'm not asleep. Because why? People don't sleep with their hands up. I still pray instead of just resting myself. But it's just that love and that joy that is there. Now, why did I call someone to help and hold it? I just love. Just love to worship God. Now, I enjoy people leading worship and all those things. Now, for me, Friday is time that I say, I just want to love God with whatever I have. It's built into the routine. So, it's important for us to have those routines in God that we build into it. And once we come to accept it, and the way we run a church is also routine. I mean, once we get on a series, you know, in season and out of season, if everyone goes on a holiday, suddenly everyone decided, oh, everyone goes on a holiday and left one person, okay, no problem. We still go on a routine and do those things. There's that. It's important to have it because we're doing it not just in the natural. We're doing it because you're building an engine in a spiritual dimension. Of course, there's a few times that we have missed all night when there's some things that just cannot, but we always say, anybody there still like to continue all night? Right? And so sometimes there are people who want to continue, encourage them. But generally, we have pushed it on only in December that we have taken a few times off the all night, but we have flowed with the season. But otherwise, there's a routine. So you can see that even routines are built around love and flexibility and all that, so that you can understand it's not just built of compulsion. I'm sure Cornelius loved God. When he dragged himself every day to spend time with God, it's because he didn't know this God, but he's going to tell this God that he loved him. And Cornelius loved people. That's why he helped the poor, he gave alms. It was born out of love. A routine that is not born out of love cannot last. So it can only flow if your love grows in God. How much do you love God? If you love God and you just want to love God more and more, it will burst out into some sort of routine. You have to find some way to tell God that you love Him. It will be spending time with Him, or dedicating a special time to Him, or even a particular day in the week that you have, especially with God, or whatever time that you can find with Him. And then God also began to respect your routine, and the angels began to expand the certain routine, and the angels flow around the routine. Do you notice something about the Old Testament? God gave the Old Testament people routines. He says, there'll be the morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice. Whether you like it or not, you got to do it. And then, besides that, God gave the Old Testament people seven feasts. Whether they like it or not, at certain times in the feast, they have to do certain things. When they have the Passover lamb, you like it or not, you know, it, in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament, they take the lamb's blood and they splash it on the post. Some of them might have bought a new house and say, yeah, you know, blood. No, whether you like it or not, you still splash the blood. And they had to do all those things because it is part of their routine. God expects them to get into the routine. And it's one day in a year, they have to enter the Holy of Holies, the high priest has to go. And three times a year, all the firstborn have to be gathered together. There are a lot of routines in the Bible God set. Now, this routine moved into the New Testament, where we don't have the animal sacrifice, and it becomes a routine of devotions to God. In the Gospel of Luke, in the New Testament, when Zacharias was among those in the routine in Zechariah. Tells us that chapter 1 in Zechariah chapter Luke chapter 1, we have here that Zechariah had a routine of serving God, and he was among those that were serving God in those days. In verse 5, Luke 1 verse 5, they were in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah for the division of Abijah. And he married his wife Elizabeth. They were righteous, they were advanced in years. And then in verse 8, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God, in the order of his division. So they all had their routine to serve God. And that was not the first time he was serving. He must have been serving from young till he's old. Now he's an elderly man. According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense. So it's his turn to burn the incense. And that day when he went in, Gabriel the angel was waiting for him. And when you look at it, I would think that Gabriel timed his visitation according to the routine. See, God respects us when we have, when we talk about developing a life of prayer. And part of life of prayer is developing routines into our life. Not routines that are like legalistic and makes you difficult to keep, but routines that you do because you love the Lord. And you know, if you don't do those routines, you got no chance to spend time with the Lord or to do the work or meditate or whatever. But you do it because you know it's good for you and there's some motivation. I won't say there's no struggle at all, because the flesh is always weak when the spirit is willing. So there's some struggle, but your love carries it. And then we look at the book of Daniel, that when Gabriel the angel appeared to him, look at the book of Daniel. That when Gabriel the angel appeared to him, sometimes his appearance is timed around a certain routine that God has. The second part of Daniel, which is from chapter 7 right on to chapter 12, has all the visions that he has. Then in chapter 8 of Daniel, we see how that Daniel was Daniel's introduction to Angel Gabriel in verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand this vision. Now, Daniel just happened to be having that vision. Now, why did Daniel have all these visions suddenly that come to him? As you see, these visions came to him in chapter 7. He records it. He might have some earlier before that, but the record that we have is from Belshazzar's time, which is King Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar died. And by Belshazzar's time, it means that Daniel was much an older man. He's been praying three times a day, constantly. See, how come these things start happening? When you build a routine before God, you actually, it's like building voltage also. It reaches a point when you cannot help it, but it will lead you to the stage where you enter into visions and revelations. And Daniel built so much energy force that is there, that he began to have all these visions that come to him. Of course, it must have shocked and surprised him. And then that was his first introduction to to Gabriel the archangel, who began to teach him what the visions mean. But after that, he said that Daniel became quite regular in his prayer too, in chapter 9, the next chapter. Chapter 9, verse 20-21. While I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer,
the man, he sees a man, actually it's an archangel, Gabriel, whom I seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Do you notice in verse 21? Now, Daniel was not in Jerusalem. Daniel was not in the temple. The temple has been destroyed. But you know what Daniel did? At the same time that they always have the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, that was when Daniel chose to spend his third time of prayer. And God knew, you see, when you keep on a routine, God also knew when to meet you. God also know when you're available. You know, remember how sometimes Jesus says, I've been waiting for you. Instead, you know, we should be waiting for Him, but He's been waiting for us. You know why? Because we never wait for Him. Why you expect Jesus to wait for you near the MRT station? And He say, hey, come, come, I want to talk to you. And you're rushing by. What do you expect Jesus to do? You expect Jesus to, you know, be waiting for you after you finish your office work. How would Jesus meet with you if you don't have a routine? But when you have a routine, God knows when to catch up with you. God knows during that time you're waiting for Him. Because that's when He knows we are listening. So if you don't have a routine, let me ask you this question. How do you expect God to speak to you? Oh, if God wants to speak to me, He can find me anywhere. He know where I am, what? Wow, you're a very big boss, eh? God is your servant. So God has to find you then. Yeah, you're very busy. Oh, yeah, yeah. So busy that even Almighty God, creator of all the galaxy system, master of all the universe, had to make an appointment with you. That's why God wouldn't bother with you. You didn't bother with God, God here. And you have to live according to the laws He created and nature exists. But when you are one of those who make time for God, now doesn't mean that you make time with God, don't tomorrow you spend three times a day praying and then evening time say, God, my turn now. Now open my eyes, open vision now. Where? You know, God said it just started one day. Daniel, you have been at it for 50 years. Doesn't mean that some of you have to wait 50 years. I'm not trying to discourage you. But you have to start somewhere and have a routine. When you have a routine, God respects the routine. And God actually knows about all night prayer. Of course He does. And I think it was the 17th of February. That was some time back. While our Pastor David is somewhere. Where was he on the 17th? He's about Pergamos, Tahiti, somewhere there, whatever. And on the 17th of February, which is a Friday, after the all-night prayer, when you know usually what happens in all-night prayer, and then 6 o'clock, we're all ready to go back to sleep. So when I went back to sleep, and I was there lying down and just thinking about the things of the Lord, slowly nodding off. And okay, of course, I did my seven times a day prayer, and I'll praise the Lord before I sleep. And so there, suddenly, Gabriel and Michael appeared. So why did they have to wait until the end of prayer? Why not appear here? Because you're too distracting to them. No. But they seem to know our routine. And then they started talking about the things of the end time last day. Then I realized that this is about the same time that Pastor David was also releasing the same end time church. And you notice that in the report, the seven churches, that was about the same time that he was also, the Lord gave him a gift. He definitely was in Philadelphia by that time, because that was where he got his reward. And then he turned around, he was prophesying to me about that time. And all those things, and then what, after they talked to me, they say, oh, they are also talking to Pastor David. How did they know our schedule? They know when our ears are tuned to listen to them. When you have a routine before God. And then now sometimes in the morning, they know that I dedicate a time so that no one disturbs me. Then sometimes I got encounters also. But when you don't dedicate it, they also say, "Ah, this guy too busy." Okay? I mean, calling, never answer phone. Say, "What phone?" Some of you say, "Where's my phone?" Your phone is in your heart. Take it out. Hello. Like, be ringing all the time. They mean calling. But call where? How to answer? Some of you say, "How to answer the phone?" You answer the phone by getting into a routine. You wait on God, not God wait for you. And you must keep waiting on God. Spending time enjoying and loving Him. And then the angels will know your routine. And God knows your routine. God knows when you're listening to Him. And one fine day, as you were doing, by that time, Eddie is white hair. 75 years old, no, it's really. And he's doing his 9,675 devotion. He looks up. Oh, suddenly an angel appeared. But a routine, whatever that is. And just pulling some of your legs, but we're in a time of acceleration. God wants to do things. And the biggest complaint of the angels, angels don't complain, sorry. I complain on their behalf. The biggest things that the angels and God is not happy, this is the biggest thing. We never wait for Him. We have no time for Him. So, even if He want to talk to us or show us something, He doesn't know where to give it to us. So some of you are saying, "Hey, now I'm all night, I please God appointment, all night prayer." But all night sometimes is building the engine. Then God must catch you alone to minister to you. Of course, that's why we sometimes in all night give you your private place and all that. And if you ask me, why should Gabriel and Michael wait until everything finished and all that? Because why? We got so many other things that we are doing. And they want to show other things on top of that. And then that will happen. But since then, a lot of angels and all that have been working closely with each one of us. And prepare yourselves and pray, because a lot of anointings are going to come forth. And even I remember, and just to encourage some of this sharing, just to encourage you, Pastor David and I have gone through all the four churches around the whole of Singapore. We went to the north, south, east, and the west, and went to all the various places and to pray with the whole of Singapore. And so each one got different names of God that we pray, Jehovah Shalom and the Lord My Banner, all different things that are there, we pray. And there were angels around the various places in Singapore. And of course, the Shama has given them all banners and all that. And guess what? Even the angels in Singapore, after that trip that David has made, others said, the angels of Singapore appear in a dream one time to our mission pastor there, and he says, "Oh, we want the anointing there also." Say, "Oh, so also when we come back, we're going to make one more trip to minister to the angels in Singapore to increase the anointing." Hallelujah. When the anointing increase, you can imagine that the spiritual atmosphere will also increase. Spiritual atmosphere and revival. But angels also want that breakthrough that has happened in the seven churches. So that's why I encourage some of you, prepare yourself to receive the anointing that is that the Lord told me, especially let it be an impartation evening that is there. But there's a lot of activities, a lot of things that are happening in the spiritual dimension. God knows our all-night prayer. The all-night prayer has reached a stage where whenever we pray, heaven knows about it. And it's already vibrating to the spiritual atmosphere. And so be stirred up in God. And I'm just sharing this to encourage you that Your all-night prayer session is only one of your routine. To take this into your personal life, to have your routines as some of you have in meditating on the Word, don't miss out on that. And some of you will say, wow, so many things to do. I do. Pray in tongues, 1 hour minimum. Read the Bible, devotion, study the Bible to show thyself a good workman of God. Now I'm going to meditate on the Word. Then you say, I must worship God 7 times a day. And then now, what do you think? I'm going to look, wow, so many things to do. Like, after that, you look, you say, wow, I also must be full time. Who knows, one day. So what you need? And if you're a businessman, God could bless you so much so that you could have half the time for God. If you're in the professional world, God could bless you so much that you could supervise over others and have half the time free. And in the ministry, God can do that. God could bless you so much. But of all the things to do, most important, meditate first. It's called the spiritual breakfast plan. The first thing you have to do is you eat first, correct? And no food, no strength. And so meditation on the Word is eating. So meditate on the Word, don't neglect that. And once you have meditated on the Word, you have taken your vitamins spiritually, you have taken, and your spirit mind is awake and strong, you can do any of the others as the spirit lead. And no need to fix pattern, because you're talking about routine, you're going to give a bit more guidance. Sometimes, on some days, you feel to worship more. Some days, you tend to pray more. Some days, you might be led to read the Bible more or study. But it's a whole to make sure that overall, you must always eat first. And in the spirit world, there's no such thing as no spiritual breakfast plan. Natural God, the no breakfast plan. No lunch plan also, and no dinner plan. And that means fast whole day. But in the spiritual, we must always eat God's Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So eating God's Word is important. Strengthen your spirit. And once your spirit strengthened, you can do all the others. So tonight, as we enter into the dimension of God and enter into prayer, be led by the Spirit. And let God teach you how to build a routine into your life. Don't jump. Don't suddenly say, wah, 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 wah. Say, wah, wah. Then you do 3 times, you're going to do 5 times. No. Flow with the Spirit and just slowly build a routine. And you're already building a routine. By coming for every Friday all night, you build a routine of once a week, which is very good. And then you're building, of course you're regular to church, you already build your routines in the other area, but in the other areas of your life, you build a routine here and there. Perhaps some of you cannot do like me to spend half the morning with God. You could spend a particular night with God, a particular hour, particular time. Just take time to say, Lord, here I am, I'm waiting on you. And then God get used to your routine. Your angels begin to take note. And then he send a memo. Your son here, this is his opening. And so the angels all know about the opening that you have with God. And you begin to have those routines. And we say, come on. Even Cornelius, who got tiny little bit of revelation, tiny little bit of knowledge of God, lots of love towards a God whom he did not know personally. Angel can appear. How much more the children of God? When we know Jesus so much, you know so much more of the Word, you got so much more of the covenant that Jesus has for you. When you get yourself into a routine, great and wondrous things. For I will close with these words. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. You love God. He loves you. And He got a secret storehouse. It's marked only for those who love Him. You want Him to open that sack of blessings for you? Love Him and set a routine. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you, Lord, with all our heart. We love you very much, Lord.
And we just really want to love you even more. We want to be faithful to you, Lord. And we know you see our little sacrifices that we make for you. You see the trouble we go through in the natural. The things that we do, oh God. The struggles that we go through to find time with you. To show that we love you. To put you first in our life. We know you appreciate every single one of them. We ask, oh God, that you will cause us to love you even more, such that we begin to have times that we keep aside to seek your face. And we ask, oh God, that you will establish each one of us in your love and teach us, Lord, how to love you with all our heart, how to love you with all our mind, how to love you, Lord, with all our strength, how to love you, O Lord, with all that is within us. We thank you, Father God. And Father, no matter what each one of us is going through right now, whether we're in a valley, in a mountain, whether, O God, we're in a tough place or an easy place, we know the most important thing you're looking for is our love. If we can love you in the valley and love you on the mountain, love you in the desert, love you in the garden, if our love could surpass every physical surrounding within us, then we know we have passed the test and we are ready for your rewards, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Here we are, Lord, to love you again, to be with you, to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise together and we just sing that song, I Love You, Lord, and then slowly we dim the lights and go into worship and prayer as the Lord leads you, and then we gather again in the morning as the Lord leads.
In your ear,
Oh.